We sing a lot of different kinds of songs in our worship assemblies. Most of those songs are songs of praise that we direct to God. Some of those songs are songs that kind of have a horizontal approach that we sing to one another. But there are very few, and perhaps the one that is known the best is one of the songs that we sang this morning, where the words that we sing are words as if we are singing words that Jesus is saying to us. We sang this morning, "I gave my life for thee." We didn't sing that. We didn't say that. That's Jesus in that song saying, "I gave my life for thee. My precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quickened from the dead." It's interesting to sing a song that we're singing to God, and yet 150 years ago, the lady who wrote the lyrics to this song wrote a song as if Jesus is singing to us. Now, Hebrews chapter 2 does say, Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 12, that Jesus does sing in the midst of the assembly. And so here we are singing, and Hebrews 2 and verse 12 says that right here in the midst of the assembly, Jesus Himself is singing with us. And as it were this morning, every time we sing this song, Jesus says, I gave my life for thee. But then there's this question: what hast thou given for me? I want us to think about the words of that song this morning. I want us to think about what Jesus gave for us. And then I want us to answer the question, what are we giving to Him? The first place this morning, I want us to look at the measure of Jesus' giving. Have you ever thought about trying to measure how much Jesus gave? It's one of those things where you can't really put a tape measure on it. You can't figure out the entirety of the depth of everything that Jesus gave. But I want you to think about the fact that Jesus, when He gave, He gave up His glory. When you read through the book of John, a number of times in the book of John, the Bible says, Jesus says that He came down from heaven. There's only one who's ever done that, and it was Jesus. He came down from heaven. Think about every word there. He came down. He was already there. He left heaven. How much did Jesus give? He left the place where He had dwelt for all of eternity. He came down to this earth to take on a human form. How degrading must that have been? For deity, for God, to take on a finite form. But there's something else He gave up, and we don't understand the entirety of it. But in John chapter 17 and verse 5, when Jesus was praying to God on the very night that He would be betrayed before He was crucified the next morning, as He's praying in John chapter 17 and verse 5, He prayed that God would glorify Him again. And He says, "With the glory that I had with you from the beginning." When Jesus came to this earth, part of what He gave, part of what He gave up was the glory that He had with the Father from all of eternity. And you hear the words of that song, I gave. But it's not just His glory. Jesus gave up His body. Think about the words to the verse of that song that says, "I suffered much for thee." And the end of that verse goes on to say, I've borne it all for thee. Think about what he gave when he gave up his body. Jesus gave his back to those Roman legionnaires who would scourge him. This was prophesied in Isaiah 50 and verse 6 that he would give his back. He gave his cheeks. Isaiah 50 and verse 6 says he gave his cheeks to those who would pluck out his beard. He gave his cheeks to those men who would slap him and say, prophesy, who is it who prophets? Who is it who has hit you? He gave his back. He gave his cheeks. He gave his face so that men could spit in his face, not only while he was there on trial, but even while he was hanging on the cross. Prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah 50 and verse 6, Jesus gave his head to the crown of thorns. He gave his shoulders to that purple robe. They did not give that to him because they felt sorry for the clothes that he had. After they had beaten and scourged him and torn his body to shreds with that whip, they took that scarlet, that purple robe of royalty, put it around his shoulders, and bowed down to him in mockery, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. He gave his clothes to those men who would gamble for them. He gave his mother to one of his best friends, the Apostle John. He gave his hands and feet so that they could be pierced through with a nail into that wretched tree. When you think about Jesus singing, I gave. He gave up his glory. He gave his body. He gave every part of his body for us. The Bible says that he just flat gave himself. There was nobody else who could do it. He gave what no one else could give. Philippians 2 and verse 7, the Bible says he emptied himself. And I want you to focus in the verses that are on the screen. I want you to focus in on that little word for. What does that mean? In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus said that he would give his life a ransom for many. On behalf of many, Jesus would give his life a ransom. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 6, it says that he gave his life a ransom for all. You know, that does not say that Jesus came to pay the ransom. It does not just say that he gave the ransom. That does not say that Jesus came down and he made a deal with the devil. It doesn't say he came, okay, devil, how much do you want? All right, here you go. I'll pay out the ransom. You just tell me what you want and I'll pay out the ransom. He did not come down to give the ransom. He came down to be the ransom himself for all of mankind. No one else could pay what needed to be paid. No one else could give what needed to be given. When you look over in Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says that he gave himself for the church. Titus 2 and verse 14, he gave himself for us. He gave himself for the church. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, he gave himself for our sins. We needed a payment made. The justice of God needed to be satisfied. And Jesus came down and he gave himself. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 needs to be a verse that we have memorized. If you've never memorized Galatians 2 and verse 20, do that this week. Because the end of that verse says, he did not just give himself for many. Does not just say that he gave himself for all. Doesn't just say that he gave himself for us or he gave himself for the church. That verse makes it personal. He gave himself for me. When we sing that song, over and over, Jesus sings with us, I gave. What hast thou given for me? And one of the most perplexing things that Jesus gave is he gave up his union with the Father. When Jesus was hanging on that cross, it's interesting that the gospel accounts tell us that at noon, 12 o'clock noon, not when the sun would almost be going down anyway, at the very moment when the sun would be at its peak, at its hottest, shining the brightest, the Bible says that light left the earth. And from the third hour until the sixth hour, the way Jews counted time, from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock, the Bible says there was darkness over all of the world. Light had left. What does that mean? Why was it for a span of 3 hours in the middle of the day that there was no light upon the earth? Perhaps we're told at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after that darkness had been on the earth for 3 hours, Jesus cried out with a loud voice. Don't miss that part of Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. He cried out with a loud voice. And he said what was already written in Psalm 22. But he didn't just say it because it was in Psalm 22. He said it because it had happened. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus says, I gave. And the very thing that we cannot even fathom that he would give would be while he's hanging on that cross, the Bible says the Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Every sin of every man of all time was laid upon Jesus. And God whose eyes are too pure to behold evil, too pure to behold sin, Habakkuk 1 and verse 13, had to turn away his eyes from his own son. When we talk about Jesus giving, he gave up his glory to come down here. When he was down here, he gave up his body. When he was here, he gave what nobody else could give. He gave himself in our place. And while he's hanging on that cross, he gave up the very union that he had had with the Father. And the last thing that he did is he gave up his life. Because at that point, that's all that he had left. He didn't have anything remaining after he'd given himself, after he'd given his body, after he'd given his union with the Father. He didn't have anything left except for his life, and then he gave that. As we sing that song, it's a unique song. Because we're not singing words of praise to God. We are singing words with Jesus, where we are saying with Him as He sings with us, I gave my life for Thee. The Bible says that He said unto the Father, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. As you think about the measure, the length, the depth, the breadth, as you think about the measure of Jesus' giving, I want to ask you a question. Why did He do it? What was His motivation? If you were to try to boil it all down, if you were to try to say, here is the motivation, we see the measure of everything that He gave. I gave. Why did He give it? I've got a lot of reasons on screen why He didn't do it. And these are some of the reasons that people give today. And that's where these come from. But Jesus was not hanging on that cross. Jesus was not giving His all in order that He might gain some kind of recognition. Or in order that He might be commended by someone. Jesus did not give in order that He might get something in return. That's not why He gave. Jesus did not give in order that he might satisfy or appease some kind of sorrow or regret. Sometimes people give for that reason today. That's not why Jesus gave. He did not give in order to satisfy a sense of compulsion. Well, I just have to do this. I don't have any other choice. I've got to do it. It's of necessity that it be done. That's not why Jesus gave. Jesus did not give in order that he might just simply obey a command. You know, the Bible says that he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. But that's not why Jesus gave. He did not give in order to meet some requirement that was laid upon him. Now, we might see some possible ideas. We might see some possible results. We might see some possible reasons behind. Maybe Jesus did give for some of these reasons, maybe, but that's not why Jesus gave. I want to ask you, if you were to give one word, that's all you're allowed, one word. If you were to give one word as to why Jesus gave, what would it be? And I want you to think about that. You got to come up with the right answer. You can't leave here today until you come up with the right answer. But I want you to think about that, and I want us to change gears for just a second. And I want us to take the measure of his giving, and I want us to start talking about the measure of my giving. The song says, I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? That's a hard part of the song. Because when Jesus says he gave it all, then he turns to me and says, what have you given? What are we supposed to give? One thing that we need to give back to God is to give back to God our minutes, our time. You know, it's not ours to begin with. It's not something that we manufactured on our own. It's not something that we created, and unless you're especially gifted, it's not something that you can multiply or make more of. It's something we all have, and yet it's not something that belongs to us. Our time, just like everything else, our time belongs unto God. How much of your time do you give to God? How many of your minutes do you give to God? The 60 minutes you have every hour, the 60 minutes times the 24 hours that you have every day, how many of those minutes do you give to God? If God is first in my life, which minutes should he get but my first ones? If God is most important in my life, should he not get the most important minutes of my life? How many minutes do you give to God? As you begin to think about the fact that God has called upon us to give as we have been prospered, how many minutes has he prospered you with? And how many minutes do we give in return? As a child of God who's been blessed with a Savior who has given and given, I need to have a heart that says, I don't want to give less than what Jesus gave. I don't want to give just enough. I don't want to refine that point where, okay, this is just enough of my minutes to give him. All right, I don't have to give any more. I've given enough this week already. As a child of God, I need to have the heart that says, I want to give more. And after I give him some more of my minutes, I want to give him some more. You see, I alone have discretion over how many minutes I give him. Nobody else gets to make that decision. I alone have responsibility for my minutes and how many I choose to give him. And for all that he has given for me, you know, the minutes, the time that I have in my day, just seems like the least I can give to him, doesn't it? But it's not just my minutes. I need to give him my might. my abilities, my skills, my talents. What is it that I can do for God? You know, those don't belong to me either. Whatever abilities, whatever talents, whatever might I have within me, that's not mine. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, God says, "Do you not know that you were bought at a price? You don't belong unto yourself. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." What I have, none of it belongs to me. Every bit of it has been given to me. And so if my might, my abilities, my talents, if they have been given to me by God, how many and how often do I use those for Him? If He is first in my life, should He not get the first fruits and get the first of my abilities to give back to Him? If I have a certain skill set that I can use for Him, that I can use for the church, that I can use for my brothers and sisters in Christ, who am I not to take what He has given to me and to use it for Him? If I have been called upon by God to give as I have been prospered, how can I say, I've given enough already? If I'm to give as I've been prospered, how can I not want to give Him more, and to find more and more ways that I can use what He has given to me? Isn't that the least that I can do for a God who's given His all for me? When you think about giving, it's the one that we don't want to talk about the most. And yet, it's the one that the Bible talks about the most. I gave my life for Thee. What hast Thou given for me? I've got to give God my money. It doesn't belong to me. It never did belong to me. It's interesting, in the little book of Haggai in chapter 2 and verse 8, the Bible even says that the silver and the gold belong unto God. And of course, we say, great, I don't have any silver or gold. You know, all I got's the paper stuff, you know, and it's not worth much anyway. Everything belongs to God. Every penny, every cent, every dollar, every investment, every stock, every bond, every whatever it is, belongs unto God. It is not mine. And if He's truly first in my life, then what am I giving Him? If He's truly the source of all things in my life, what am I giving Him? If He's truly the center of my life and everything, if He is my all, what am I giving to Him? This congregation has for a number of years been one of the givingest congregations that I've known of. I read a lot of church bulletins. And it's not hard when you read church bulletins to take the Sunday attendance and the Sunday contribution and do a simple division, right? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out, here's how much the Sunday contribution was, here's how much the Sunday attendance was, here's how much per person on average was given on Sunday. And this congregation, by and large, has always exceeded what most other congregations average. It says something. It says something about the heart of this church that recognizes that everything I have belongs to God. And when God has called upon me to give as I have been prospered, who am I to hold back? Who am I to say, well, maybe I've given enough. All right, I think that's enough. I don't need to give any more. Or do I have a heart that says, I've given that much, but I want to give more. And when I give more, I want to give more. Think about what Jesus gave. Did Jesus ever reach a point where He said, you know, I think that's enough? Did Jesus ever reach a point where He said, you know, I think I've given about all I'm going to give. I think I'm going to stop here. Jesus gave all that he had. I alone have discretion over how much I give. I alone have responsibility over how much I give. How much do I give to God? And what does my giving reflect? You see, we can talk about the measure of Jesus' gift, and then we can talk about the measure of our giving back to him. But I want us to go back to where we left off a minute ago. What was it that motivated Jesus to give? Y'all come up with that answer yet, that one word answer? What was it that motivated Jesus to give? Now, we looked at the things that did not motivate Jesus to give. These are things that do not need to motivate us to give. I know sometimes they might. I know sometimes we might be motivated to give, perhaps like the Pharisees were, to gain some kind of recognition. To gain some kind of commendation. You know, I hope somebody sees how much I'm giving so that they'll recognize how much money that I put in that basket. That's not why we give. We don't need to give in order that we might get something in return. I know the Bible teaches that. I know the Bible teaches that he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. But if that's the only reason that you give, you're missing it. That's not why we need to give. We don't need to give in order that we might appease our conscience or appease some kind of sorrow or grief or guilt that we have. If we feel guilty and we say, well, I'll just give more and that'll make me feel better. That's not the reason we need to give. Yeah, that's what the Bible calls, you know, giving by giving of necessity or giving grudgingly. We don't need to give because we think we have to. We don't need to give because it's simply to obey a command. We have been commanded to give to God. There's no question about it. He has commanded us to give every first day of the week. But our giving needs to go beyond, I'm doing it because I was told to do it. And our giving needs to go beyond the requirement of just meeting a budget. Every congregation has a budget. That budget is made known. That budget is published. Here's how much money is needed in order for the operations of this church to exist and survive and to be sustained. And so we look at the budget. We need to give at least that much. No, I need to give to God more. Just like those Corinthians did. Do you see it in that passage that was read from 2 Corinthians chapter 8? They gave out of their poverty. They gave until it hurt. But you see, while these may be reasons that we give, while some of these may be the results of why we give, we still haven't boiled it down. We still haven't got down to the one reason. You see, if we gave for all of those reasons listed on the previous screen, and we don't give for the primary, true, ultimate reason, it doesn't matter how much we give. What's the reason? My motivation has got to mirror Jesus's motivation. What was it that motivated Jesus to give his all? And whatever it was that motivated Jesus to give his all will motivate me to give God anything. Will motivate me to give God everything. You got it figured out? What's the one word? The one word that motivated Jesus. Jesus loved us. That children's song is not a children's song. Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me how much he gave for me. The measurement of someone's sacrifice is a measurement of their love. The degree to which someone is willing to sacrifice is the measurement of that person's love. I want you to listen to how these two words are used over and over in Scripture. You know these verses. In John 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world that he did what? He gave. What was it that motivated God to give? That verse says, God so loved that he gave. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, the Bible says, Christ also loved us and has given himself. What motivated Jesus to give Himself up for us? He loved us. In Ephesians 5, verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. And what did He do? And gave Himself for her. Notice how many times in the Bible where it says that God gave, where it says that Jesus gave, that it tells us what the motivation was. Every time it tells us that that motivation was a matter of love. Now come back to that verse that I want you to memorize this week if you haven't done it already. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live, I'm not dead. I crucified my old man, but the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who did what? Who loved me and then did what? And gave Himself for me. The degree of His sacrifice, giving His all, was a measurement of His love. What does that say about us? What does that say about our degree of sacrifice? What does that say about my giving? What is it that motivates a father to work long hours, to give himself over and over to overtime and as much overtime work that he can get in order to earn all that he can, but then he's not doing it for any personal pleasures. He's doing it in order that he might support his family. What motivates a father to do that? What motivates a father to take all of his lands, all of his possessions, all of his stocks, all of his investments, and to sell them off in order that he might pay for his daughter's medical expenses? What motivates a father to give all of that? What is it that motivates a mother to live so sacrificially? What is it that motivates a missionary to sacrifice so much to go into a foreign country? What is it that motivates a young man to spend his last dollar to buy his girlfriend a gift? Yeah, that might be a different answer, perhaps, than the other ones. We'll have to examine that one for a second. What is it that motivates these individuals to make all of these sacrifices? It's love. What is it that motivates us to give to God? If we give and give and give, but it is not motivated by love, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3, it profits me nothing. Think about when Jesus saw that widow giving her two mites, and the comparison with those other men who were giving from their abundance. They were giving and giving and giving. But if we give and give and give, but we're not motivated by love, it profits us nothing. We've got to be motivated by love. With my giving, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 says, I demonstrate the proof of my sincerity. I show God how true I am by the degree of my sacrifice. I show God the depth of my love by how much I give to Him. We don't have time to look in Luke chapter 7. But that woman who came and anointed Jesus' feet with oil and the discussion that took place afterwards, Jesus indicated about her gift. Down in Luke chapter 7, verses 44 and following, she has loved much. We show just how deep our love is by how much we give, by what we give. And with my giving, I reciprocate back to the Lord what He did for me. We love Him because He first loved us. You know, sometimes when we think about giving to God, that's not one of our favorite topics to think about. But when you think about how much Jesus gave for us, how can I not think about what I give back to Him? And when I think about why He gave so much, how can my love for Him not motivate me to give Him my all? I gave my life for Thee. What hast thou given for me? May God help us to demonstrate our love for Him every day of our lives, not just a couple minutes every Sunday when the baskets are passed, but in every demonstration of my life, may I show Him how much I love Him. Have you given your life to Him? Have you surrendered your all to Him? Have you, through obedient faith, shown God how much you love Him? Believing that Jesus is the Son of God, you can become one of His children. He's given you that right. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you can turn away from sin and turn towards God. You can repent just like He's told us to do. That's what love does. Love says, this isn't about me, this is about Him. And I want to serve Him. And through that love that we have for Him, we confess the faith that's in our heart. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And just as love caused Him to die upon that cross and to be buried, my love for Him will cause me to die to self, to be buried in baptism, to be buried in water, immersed into Christ so that I can have the forgiveness of my sins. And then love will help me to look at that living sacrifice, not as a drudgery, not as an obligation, but as an opportunity to live a faithful life unto the Lord, not because I have to, but because I want to, because that's how much I love Him. This church can help you in any way to get your life right with the Lord. Why don't you come right now as together we stand and sing.